Brothers and sisters, Christ is born. It's an honor that we are together. We welcome a dear friend of mine and my family who came to be with us for the baptism of our new little Paraskevi. And Father James and his wife Karen were the godparents yesterday at the baptism. So we're honored to have him, but honored to be together in the Holy Liturgy. And I asked Father to preach. Father James is an archpriest of the Archdiocese and has a beautiful church, St. Ignatius of Antioch Orthodox Church outside of Phoenix in Mesa, Arizona. Much like our community, vibrant, growing, young people, exciting when you go down there. Recipients of a brand new church, a new property, very beautiful. Hopefully he'll tell us more, maybe downstairs, but we are kindred souls. And it's all priests, it's nice to be with. Father Paul and I have this union of love, and Father James and I share this, and it's a big joy for us. So let us attend to his words today. Forgive me.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is born.
Glorify.
Christ is born.
Glorify.
Christ is born.
Glorify.
Glorify him. Yeah, I was blessed to travel internationally with Father Justin and Panteleimon and Benjamin to go to Mount Athos. And as you know, your pastor knows everyone, even internationally. So traveling with him and we'd be at a monastery and there'd be some old monk being rolled out like in a wheelchair and he'd be like, I'm like, look at that guy. And your pastor would say, well, that's Elder Eli from Russia. He's a very holy saint. I'm like, how do you know everyone everywhere? But he does. And his obvious gift among many other spiritual gifts is community, not only in his own household with all the kiddos, but just with you, with all of Salt Lake City and just everywhere. So it's a joy for my wife and son Samuel to be here for the weekend, and a joy to be here during the Christmas season. The Lord said that when time was full, he would shine his light in the darkness, that a virgin would conceive and give birth to the promise. The 40 days of fasting for nativity was the preparation that we needed to stand at the nativity service, the Christmas services, and to stand through the 12 days of Christmas, having pushed aside in the fasting time all the partying and feasting, and now to embrace, and maybe it's just as difficult, by the way, to embrace during the feasting time, these 12 days, the joy of the feast. Whereas in the 40 days, we were hopefully made aware of our own sin and the passions in our members, in our hearts, that during the feasting time, there's a lightness now being brought into the light of Christ and his like coming into the world. Amazing. And hopefully there's something that we can see in our own hearts, what we could call the third cave, our own hearts, the third cave that needs the Lord's healing so much because we're so often inattentive, we so often lack concentration, and everything that we actually need to pray, everything we actually need to draw close to the Lord is so often missing, at least in my own heart, the third cave, my own third cave. Remembering the first cave, of course, is what we're celebrating right now. In Bethlehem, the first cave, if you've ever been to Bethlehem and gone to venerate the manger, you know, where Christ is born, it's a cave. You go down into the church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. You go down the stairs, which feels like a cave. And you actually have to get down on your hands and knees. I'm sure some of you maybe been there or seen pictures. And you actually have to venerate. You have to go into this little cave. And that's the first cave. The second cave, of course, is the cave that is the tomb of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. And then our own hearts being the two caves we're all for. The two caves, the cave at Bethlehem and the cave in Jerusalem, were for the third cave, that we might be saved. So the prophecy of Jesus coming into the world, of God coming into the world in Christ, is that he would save us from our sins. That's what the prophecy is. He would come into the world to save us from our sins, that God would be with us, Emmanuel, that the promise might be fulfilled. And we're now living the 12 days now, into the fulfillment of the promise. And I have help from my little deacon, so it's perfect. The Orthodox Church teaches that the incarnation is the fulfillment of the promise of Abraham. It's a completion of the law of Moses, the fulfillment of all the prophets. It's everything. It's everything. To the church, Christ incarnate is the final prophet, teacher, and king, the great high priest of salvation. And what is he doing by becoming one of us? I mean, this is an important question. What is God doing by becoming one of us? Because he probably could have thought a different way to do this. But this isn't... He chose this as the way to become one of us, to shine light in our hearts, the hearts that had grown dark. The surprise is that the way of salvation is not found in the expectation of a Messiah who exists far from us, separated from us, and who, in that place, wherever that would be, really far away from us, promises to fix everything. That's not who we have as our Lord. Born in a town of really no significance other than to fulfill the prophecy, Bethlehem, a tiny town, simply to embrace everyone and everything. He came into this world with all the experiences that we have and all the people around him, not reigning from on high, totally separated from us, but a God who loves us, a God who's drawn close to us, a God who loves us enough to be near to us. He has made all things new because he's not a God who we worship totally separated from us, like on high, far away or something. He's the one who's drawn close to us. He's made all things new by restoring the human person to what we were meant to be in the very beginning, what we were in the very beginning. Priests of creation, offering back to God everything that he had created. That we stood there and said, all of this is yours. And the fall really is the break in that. That we no longer stand there as priests in the creation and we worship ourselves and worship whatever we want. And with the Lord coming back into his world in this radically new way, taking on our condition and then giving himself up to the cross and then the resurrection and ascension, all of it has been made renewed. All of it's been made new again. So we have the three caves, the cave at Bethlehem of his birth, nativity, the cave of the resurrection, which is the tomb in Jerusalem, and then this, our heart. And St. Isaac the Syrian, talking about the third cave of our heart, said this, remember the fall of the mighty and be humbled in your virtues. Recollect the grievous transgressions of those who have trespassed and repented, and the sublimity and honor of which afterwards they were deemed worthy. We have David today for this, by the way. King David. Those who trespass of old and repented, the sublimity of the honor of which afterwards they were deemed worthy. King David. Take courage in your repentance, St. Isaac goes on. Be a persecutor of yourself. And maybe I could add, and not others. Be a persecutor of yourself, and your enemy will be driven away from you. Be peaceful within yourself, and heaven and earth will be at peace with you. Be diligent. Enter into the treasury that is within you, the heart. And heaven and earth will be peace with you. The treasury of heaven will be there. For these are one and the same. And with one entry, you'll behold them both. The ladder of the kingdom is within you, hidden in your soul. Plunge deeply within yourself, away from sin. And there you will see the steps by which you will be able to ascend. It's very moving about the heart. Very moving. The Lord comes into the world to heal the human person, renew us, and raise us from the dead. How does he come? As a leader with an army, but the leader is an infant and the army are angels. It's unexpected. Born in a shepherd's cave, laying in a manger. So on Christmas, the day of nativity, God gives his own son, his only begotten son, to the world. But in his humanity, the Son of God is still a baby. Comes into the world like every child. A redeeming childhood, by the way. Frail, vulnerable, humanly speaking, unaware of what's happening to him. But years pass, as St. Luke says, he grows in stature and wisdom. And the day of his baptism, and the waters of Jordan, of which is the next feast, in a week's time, we'll see more fully that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. And that day, the man Jesus Christ takes upon himself in an act of personal choice and will, the cross. We now live at the time When God has not only become man and entered into human destiny, but we live at the time of the resurrection as well. Glorious ascension of God, the Son of God, takes our human flesh to the very heart of the divine mystery. On earth, we live at a time when the Holy Spirit has been given to the church. We live in the time of Pentecost. And further, in a week's time, St. John the Baptist will call us to make the path straight. That's what the message will be in a week's time. To smooth the ways of God, to make smooth the way of God into our heart, into our minds, our souls. And I would even go further to say, it's not our job to make the path straight into the world so God can get into the world. He doesn't need us to do that. What is the work of the Christian person? To make the path straight, smooth, so He can get back into our hearts, that we might open our hearts to Him and invite Him in. And this is something we need to receive as a calling. Like, this is what we're doing. So should we not, between this Sunday and the Feast of Theophany, reflect on our own position, where we are, with some courage in God and faith and devotion? And while reflecting on our response, standing now at the crown of the new year, this is like incredible that we have this Sunday. So often this Sunday, like, we don't have it. So the feast that we're celebrating with David and my patron James usually gets moved to the 26th. But today, because there's like this extra time, because the way the calendar fell, we have this Sunday today. So there's still another Sunday before Theophany. It's an unusual, we don't usually have so much time right here, Sundays-wise, to reflect, you know? And here we are at the crown of the new year. And if you're like me, you kind of can't help but think about the new year, making resolutions and goals and things. It's not like it's put forth by the Holy Fathers, but we kind of can't help but go, what do I want out of the new year, even spiritually? Like, what are my goals? You know, am I going to make Vespers more often? What? Am I going to keep the fast better? What are my hopes of waking up earlier or something and doing my prayers? We stand here at the crown of the new year, a new beginning in our lives. So through Christ's birth, eternity has broken in to this new year, into our hearts. The living God has entered time and entered the third cave. The first cave at Bethlehem, the second cave in Jerusalem, and into our hearts, the third cave. And now, as every year, we look around and we look back. If you look back, there's grief and expectations and all kinds of things in the past year. But I encourage you to keep the feast. The feast of joy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's made all things new. And let the new year bring us closer to Him as we plunge more deeply into our hearts to find Him there, that we might draw closer to Christ. And I will end with a warning. Here is the warning. The others we're remembering today are the 14,000 infants that were slain by Herod in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. 14,000. Bethlehem did not have 14,000. Bethlehem does not now have 14,000. I'm not sure Salt Lake City has 14,000. Maybe. I mean, it's a lot of infants. Well, Salt Lake City probably does. 14,000. So they went into the surrounding areas, took every kid to and under, and said, we're taking them out to try to stop the Lord from coming into the world. So the warning is this. If you will give yourself to Christ, if you will embrace Him and love Him more, to follow Him is to take up the cross. And we can make it flowery if we want. But if you take up a cross, that is the means of death. And that is a path. It's a path to giving up our own lives to God. It's sacrificial. It's everything. We have today as a, like, held out before us that 14,000 gave up their lives. 14,000 infants slain because God had come into the world. And this will be our path. We will not find ourselves like totally dissolved or something, but we will find ourselves struggling. And we will find ourselves giving ourselves up to the Lord. It will be a walk. It will be difficult. It will be a journey. It won't be simple. There'll be setbacks. There'll be disappointments and there will be grief. And the Lord is only promising us that He will be with us. And for all of those who have died, that was enough. that the Lord was with them was all they needed to know, and that's all they had. We had yesterday remembrance of those who had been killed by fire in the churches, and there were stories of others who went entered into the church with them as well, because they didn't want to be separated from God, and they were willing to give up their lives. So that is the call, that is the warning, that is the crown of the new year in the joy of the feast, is that the Lord is asking everything, including our very lives. And if we will give them up, we will find them again. If we will give up our lives, He will give them back. And then anything we suffer in this life is cake in the eternal life. The Lord has promised to take care of us. So let's give ourselves to Him. Let's trust Him more. Let's love Him more. The crown of the new year, let's give 2020 to Him. Let's give our hearts to Him more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is born.
Glorify Him.